Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most wonderful God, we come to worship you. We come to say that we love you. But Lord, you are such a loving God. And you loved us before we even knew you. You are wonderful. You are mighty. You are true. Your wisdom reaches out to so many. You are a wonderful God. And we come to adore you. We come to praise you. We come to glorify you. And Lord, we know that the world is the world that you created, and yet there have been many changes since that time. There are many that must have disappointed you. There are many wicked people. Lord, we pray for the situation in Ukraine. Oh Lord, how we pray for those people, those that are still trying to escape the war. And Lord, as we think about the Russian leader and those that are supporting him, Lord, it makes us feel sick. Lord, we want all terrorism, all acts of war and aggression defeated. Lord, be with all those refugees that are leaving Ukraine, seeking to get homes in new countries. Lord, may we reach out to do all that we can for those people. They feel lost. They feel broken. Lord, will you be all that they need at this time? And Lord, we want to thank you for your church throughout the world. We thank you, Lord, for all those people who seek to serve you and to serve each other. And we thank you for all the organizations that are there to help people in need. So many organizations and so many volunteers. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. Some of them, Lord, we may never hear of. But Lord, the work that is going on in your name is wonderful. And we want to thank you for all the people that are willing to sacrifice their time to help others. Lord, may we continue to be a helpful people. May we continue to be a loving people. May we continue to be a peaceful people. Lord, may peace rule your world. And as we continue in worship this morning, Lord, we pray that we might be drawn nearer and nearer to you. May our time together, Lord, be a special experience. We pray for our families. We pray for our friends. We pray for those who we know who need special care at this time. And we pray for ourselves, Lord. Forgive us if we let you down, but Lord, help us. May we know you as our healer. May we know you as our companion. May we know you as our guide, and may we continue to experience that peace that you only can give to us. We rejoice in knowing you, and we bring our prayers in your wonderful and powerful name. Amen. Let us say the family prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So we're going to continue worship with Amazing Grace.
Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being his Son, Jesus Christ, being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols.
Going to sing Beauty for Brokenness, and the words of this one I just thought were really appropriate for now, for what's happening in the world, written by Graham Kendrick some time ago. Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair.
Sunrise to sunset, we think.
That song is very appropriate, isn't it, at this time? Not just war, but refugees, people who feel lost, people who feel unwanted. I don't think we can begin to realize the terror, the sadness that's going on at this time. But our message today, for those who believe in Jesus, should be an encouragement. The title to the message, What Do We Know For Sure? What do we know for sure? And we have a few points on it. It's number five, but not going to be long. But I hope it's going to be an encouragement and a comfort. Number one, what we know for sure, we know that Jesus is God. The passage that Jean shared with us in verses, chapter 5, verses 6 to 10, it emphasizes placing our trust on Jesus. Placing our trust on Jesus. A person who trusts Christ is born of God and is able, yes, able to overcome the world. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God is basic to our Christian experience. We must believe it because that's what our faith depends on. But how do we know? How do we know that Jesus Christ is God? Listen to this. Some of his contemporaries called him a liar. Others a deceiver. Others have suggested he was a religious fanatic, a madman, or perhaps a Jewish patriot who was sincere but sadly mistaken. And so the people to whom John was writing was exposed to a popular false teaching that Jesus was merely a man on whom the Christ had come when Jesus was baptized on the cross. They believe that the Christ had left Jesus because they heard Jesus cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so they believe that he died just like any other human being. But what have we to know that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, despite all the funny things that some people believe? Well, A, there is his baptism. That's where the water that's mentioned comes in. What was heard when Jesus came out of the water? This is my Son, my beloved Son. Surely we must know that this was God the Father speaking and claiming the one that had come out of the water to be part of the Godhead. And then there's the blood. This refers, of course, to the cross. Jesus died on the cross, yes. He shed his blood. Why? For the redemption of sins. But he came back to life as he had promised. So we can be sure, surely. That's another witness of the fact that this man on the cross wasn't a fanatic. He wasn't a madman. He is the Christ. He is the one that died, yes, but came back to life. And the third one that reveals to us that Jesus is God is the Spirit. We know, don't we, that the Spirit comes to all believers. Remember, Jesus said, when I've gone back to my Father, he will send the Spirit into the world. And the Spirit was to come in a new way. The Spirit had existed as Jesus had from the beginning of creation. But the Spirit was coming in a new way to work in and through all who believed. Jesus' promise was acted upon. And in fact, if we don't know the Spirit working in our lives today, then, well, what is our faith? What do we believe? I could not stand here now unless I believed that the Spirit was willing to work through me. When I first started speaking in public in a hospital, some of you have heard this before, and a patient challenged me at the end of the service for something I said. Oh dear, how could I answer her? And the answer came. And I can tell you, and I can honestly, truthfully say that the words that came out of my lips, I didn't even know was in Scripture. But it silenced the lady. And then what happened? The Spirit moved even further, because the sister of the ward then came to me and said, come, let us move on to other patients. She was a Christian too. And she and I acknowledged that we'd seen the Spirit at work, because this woman didn't normally keep quiet. But with those words, they weren't mine, they were God's words, the Spirit's words. But it silenced her. So, we know, we've got to know, we must be sure that Jesus is God. Secondly, believers have eternal life. Verses 11 to 13. Life, eternal life, is a gift. It is not something that we can earn. It's not something that we can work for. This is grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor. We cannot deserve it. We cannot work for it. It is a gift of God to us. Eternal life is there for all who truly believe in Jesus Christ. And how many people have we seen go to the Lord with a lovely smile on their face because they are so sure they knew where they were going? Number three, God answers prayer. You know, it may be sometimes that we feel, oh dear, don't think God's answered my prayer. God makes us wait sometimes. And sometimes God answers our prayer not in the way we've asked for, but in a different way. First, we must have a heart that does not condemn us. If our heart condemns us, then have we any right to ask God? The great thing is that God listens to our prayers, whatever the situation. But secondly, we must pray in God's will. Now in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, thy will be done. But do we really seek that when we come in prayer? Or do we just ask for something we want? No, we must pray in God's will. And the most important thing about prayer is the will of God. So we must take time to work out what God's will is in the matter that we're praying about. Especially searching the Bible for promises or for principles that apply to our situation or to our prayer. Once we know the will of God, we can then pray with confidence and then wait for Him to reveal His answer. Number four, Christians do not practice sin. Verses 16 to 19. Bruce, are you saying that we don't sin? No. Christians do not practice sin. This does not mean occasional sins. We know God forgives those occasional sins. Thank God He does. But what this refers to here is habitual sin. A sin that we go on doing. A sin that we go on keeping on purpose. That is the sin that we must not practice. And number five, the Christian life is a real life. It shouldn't be a miserable life. This is the secret of life, that it is real. Because we have met the one true God through His Son Jesus. And so we are in contact with reality. Our fellowship is with God, who is genuine. And as we have seen, the word real means original, as opposed to a copy. And the authentic, as opposed to imitation. Jesus Christ is the true light and the true bread. All this comes from Scripture. And the true vine and the truth itself. This is what it says in God's word. He is the original. Everything else is a copy. He is authentic. Everything else is only an imitation. So when we hear people saying, oh, don't believe in Jesus, don't believe He is God, my friends, there is so much that we can be sure about in our God. And we know, do we not, that eternal life is promised to all true believers. You know what that means, don't you? One day, we are going to be with God in eternity. We find that hard to believe, but it's true. What is true? Well, what is true is that, and we can take this for sure, that Jesus is part of the Godhead. There is only one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. All were there at the beginning. Scripture proves that. But when Jesus came, He came to redeem a people who had wandered from God. He came to redeem all who in the future would claim Him, Jesus, as their Savior. And why could we claim Him as their Savior? Because when He hung on that cross, He was there for you and for me. He suffered for us. Some people thought that was the end. Praise God, it wasn't, because He is part of the Godhead, and He came back to life. We will be enjoying the Easter messages soon, I trust. But we serve, do we not, a risen, living Saviour. And we need to be sure of that, because we have all the evidence that we need. Praise God. Amen. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. When we think of Jesus hanging on that cross, it could make us sad. At least I would trust that it would make us realize his great love for his people, because to suffer all that he did was tremendous. It was and it is the perfect sacrifice. And before Jesus faced the cross, he celebrated the Last Supper, and he said to the disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that's what we're going to do now. Let us pray. Jesus, our Savior, we thank you for all that you have done and for all that you mean to us. And so we will take this bread and we will take this wine, which are but symbols of your precious body and blood given so freely for us. We praise you. Amen. So we remember that Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, and he said, "Take, eat this in remembrance of me." We remember that Jesus then took the cup. He said, "This is my blood given for you. This said the Lord Jesus, do in remembrance of me." We retain the cup until we are all served, and then we will drink together. This is a symbol of the very precious blood of Jesus given for us. Let us drink with true sincerity and thankfulness. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for a love that is so great, so powerful, so wonderful. And we rejoice that Jesus took our place on the cross of Calvary. And we want to promise, Lord, that we will seek always to walk in your way, to serve you and be your ambassador in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And our worship with the Lord of all hopefulness.
Thank you.
we stand and see the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.